What's up, you goofballs? This is Aaron Maslow with Quick and Slow Comedy Show. Today, Nick and Jamie and Tom are talking to Miklos Blackshaw, a comedian who once called Fort Mac home, and then there was a fire, and he lost his legs. No! He gained legs. He has more legs than he started. That's the magic of oil. Anyway, today we got a fun episode. I bet you couldn't guess it by looking at him, but if you had to guess, you'd probably know he's going to talk about drugs. Oh yeah, boy, this is a big drug-heavy episode. Talking about drinking your way out of a hangover, drug testing, reasons for doing heroin from people who've never done heroin, and some stuff about comedy too, including Jamie's recent middle spot at the Yuck Yucks Comedy Club in Edmonton. She is tearing it up. And then Tom has a new live album that he just cut. And that'll be available at the end of the year here. But we'll get some links up on our website, quickandslow.com. Check us out on Facebook. That's Facebook, Quick and Slow. No C in Quick. Because Nick is weird about that. He spells it N-I-Q. That's how you spell Nick. Anyway, hey, we're glad you were here. Hope you enjoy this episode. Enjoy Miklos. And hit us up for some free comedy tickets. Or come see us at one of our comedy shows. And also, I love you. You don't have to say it back.
I shot a flare off of my head, or a Roman candle off of my head once, but I wore two hats.
She wore two hats.
Wait, so the Roman candle was attached to your head and it shot, or you shot it?
It was attached, aimed forward, kind of like a unicorn horn.
Oh, okay.
And I was in the box of a truck, and we were driving towards another truck.
Did you say yeehaw?
No.
You fucked up bad.
Did you have some kind of catchphrase beforehand?
Yeah, I was like, I'm getting shot with stuff, and I'm partly on fire. I was mainly narrating what was going
on. That doesn't roll off the tongue the same as yeehaw.
No, it really doesn't. You can't put that on a t-shirt. I would like to stress that when I shot Roman candles off my head, I wore two hats because safety
first.
Yeah, safety first, definitely. You double up on hats.
Holy fuck. Nick, I just figured out why you need a new spine.
I have lived a very adventurous life.
So far.
Have you done flaming snowballs?
Flaming snowballs? Is that a drink?
No.
Is that where somebody spits you your cum back in your mouth? but you have chlamydia?
That would be awesome. You should make that a thing.
Flaming snowballs.
Well, you take like a snowball, you dose it in gasoline, let it on fire, and then throw it at someone, like engulfs them in flame.
Oh. Wow. Sweet. And here I've just been playing Street Fighter.
I have a video of that somewhere, of friends doing that.
Yeah?
Yeah, because one guy threw a snowball and it lit someone's coat on fire.
Did you have to go to court to see it?
No.
You know what would be the worst?
No, there was a good application of stop, drop, and roll.
I got to say, you know what would be the worst? If you were also that guy that did that and put a little rock on the inside of it too. You were that kid, like, I'm gonna just go one step further.
That's just mean, man.
Let's have a meeting.
I'm all
with
for like
army.
Setting someone on fire.
You're all for setting someone on fire. You have to draw a line with gasoline, eh?
Well, I'm just like,
yes. Set him on fire, but I don't want to hurt the guy.
Well, you'll have like fire extinguishers on hand and shit. Or not?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. As long as everybody is wearing two hats, we're all good.
Is my microphone
Hello, ladies
working?
And gentlemen. Welcome to the Quick and Slow Comedy Show. I'm your host, Nick McQuick. As always, we're joined in studio by our amazing, talented sound man that makes all of the knobs and dials move, Thomas Tom Brent.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, That's Tom, you had a show a little while ago, didn't you?
I did have a show on, like, how many days ago would it be?
Oh, like, probably a week or two. Was it June 2nd?
It went pretty good. The lights worked until somebody kicked one of them off, and I noticed. But, I mean, it is what it is. We recorded a live album. It was fucked. We'll see how it turned out.
And you're going to be working on releasing the album. You also got some video from that.
Yeah, for sure.
And is there anywhere that people can find like snippets or previews or anything? Just the YouTube channel?
Yeah, it'll be on YouTube when it's ready.
And that's just your Two Men, the Dead Language?
Yeah, Google stuff.
Tom B in the Dead Language.
That's the way.
That's what it is. Okay. And always rolling the joints and
With
making
us,
the pizza.
Always.
Rolling, rolling, rolling,
our
rolling.
Talented
what?
And amazing producer, Jamie Nall.
I'm amazing.
Amazing. You did your first middle, co-middle, whatever thing. Yucks.
Yeah. It was. I didn't tank. I was really surprised that when I actually force myself to do things, I'm capable of rising to the occasion. Neat.
Yeah. Yeah, and you were well received?
Not in the last show, actually.
Okay.
Well, no, like, none of it was bad. I did good on the first two shows. The last one was a bit of like a drunken shit show crowd, but they were nice after, so whatever.
Yeah? Nobody threw any tomatoes or anything?
No, if anybody threw anything, like, security.
I was tempted to come to the last show.
Sometimes they piss on a guy or something.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's happened.
Or they smoke meth.
Just break out the shiwi.
Lots of times.
Yeah. What was it? I was tempted to come to the last show, but you told me that, like, you were like, it looks like it's going to get canceled. So I was like, I'm not going to come.
Oh,
and then you were like, it happened.
There was seriously, like, the doors were open for, there was nobody on the books, like, official, that weren't comps. The doors had been open for like 20 minutes and there were like fucking four people in there. And we were just like, oh God. But then a whole pile of them ended up coming in and none of them were that fabulous. But yeah, I went up and I did my set and, you know, I got some laughs at the beginning, I got some laughs at the end. They kind of went dead in the middle. But then Hannigan went up and there was a couple times where he was just, that was supposed to be a joke. And I was like, okay, not just me.
Yeah. Oh, well, tough room builds a tough comic. That's what they always say. And by they, I mean me, basically, exclusively. And joining us on
Copyright
the podcast.
Copyright Nick McQuick.
For the very firstest time ever, it's his newest time on the podcast, Miklos Blackshaw.
How's it going?
Wonderful. You're from Fort McMurray via Red Deer all the way to Edmonton, right?
Except for Red Deer.
Except for Red Deer?
Yeah.
I thought that was the first time I saw you as a Red Deer.
Oh, probably it was the first time you saw me, but yeah. I was... Started in Edmonton.
You started in Edmonton. And yeah, I think the first time I saw you in Edmonton, we were doing comedy at a, not a homeless shelter, but a hostel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were doing at a hostel, which is like kind of like an international homeless shelter.
That was awesome because we could just bring beer.
Yeah, you just bring beer and get drunk. And they had a cooler on stage, so you could just open it and drink there. And you you went on stage in, you really stood out from a lot of the other comedians because you went on stage in your pajamas?
Yeah, man,
this
I love
it. This is probably one of the first time I've seen you not in pajamas.
Yeah, this is the most professional you've ever been dressed up for an audio podcast.
Thanks, it's nice out. I plan to do things later, maybe.
We'll see. Not just nap through the day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had a good conversation about how days are just only for napping now that we're adults, though.
Really?
Yeah, man.
We're just tired all the time.
I had probably one of my first naps in years earlier this week. Because I went to bed at 3 a.m. and then had to wake up at 6 a.m. the next day. And I was like, I'm going to need a nap.
I bought this weed peanut butter butterscotch cookie thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady who sold it to me is like, only eat half. And I was like, for sure, I'll only eat half. So my plan was one day, I think it was like last Saturday, I was like, I'm just going to eat half of this. And the next thing I knew, it was all gone. I was like, oh, fuck, there goes my whole weekend.
See, that's the thing, though. Like, with that sort of, I guess we'll call it medicine, when they're like, just take half, why do they make it taste so good then? Because, I mean, like, you don't go to McDonald's and you're like, can I get a quarter pounder? Don't worry, I'll just have half. Like you know you're going to eat the
Wouldn't
whole
thing.
Like an eighth
of a pounder?
Please.
Yeah. Thank you for the math update.
I gave a peanut butter cup to my roommate, and I was like, hey, be careful. These are pretty strong. And then I came back to follow up. I was like, how'd you like? She's like, I took like a tiny bite. It was fucking wrecked. And I was like, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's strange. Remember back in the day, like Halloween trick-or-treating, they were like, your parents were like, don't eat any of this candy. Like, we have to look through it to make sure there's no razor blades. Now just think, like, kids nowadays probably are getting, like, homemade brownies and stuff. Like, I don't really deal with trick-or-treaters at all because I've got, like, a pike at my house, so that keeps them off the
I like
patio.
Your sign in the in the front, too.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was up there before, but it felt like it was put up there for me.
I feel like it works for me, too.
I
wouldn't mind going to garage sales that have big shit like furniture these days because I kind of want, like, a vanity or a weird chair.
Yeah, like, I feel like I could get a new couch and throw out my old couch.
Yeah, like, if I could find a weird chair at a garage sale, but that's it.
A weird chair.
Other than that, it's like, do you want this $3 tape of Mazes and Monsters starring Tom Hanks from 1980?
My favorite
all
is
the Barry Manilow.
Yeah, my favorite are like, hey, do you want a board game that's missing pieces?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yes. They're like, yes,
I
do.
You just get your own thimble and dog.
I actually got a first edition Dungeons and Dragons from a garage sale once. I was pretty proud of
the
that
red
one.
Box?
Yeah, yeah, full. Like even the dice in it were like sealed and everything.
Oh wow, you got original Gygax cubes.
Oh yeah,
dope. Nicholas, you look like a Dungeons and Dragons caricature.
Thank you, thank you.
Have you? We just played a board game a little while ago.
We did. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Usually Thief.
Yeah,
one of those kinds of games.
He's just a beard wizard. Isn't a mage a wizard? I don't know.
I don't know what episode it was. We had Dave Ray on a little while ago. He's actually developing a board game that me and Miklos play tested. And yeah, it was really fun.
And Nick shot himself in the foot. He could have beat me.
Yeah, but I intentionally didn't because it was funnier. I got second by a very narrow
pissed off my friends because they're like, he wins fucking everything. Nick's like, all right, cool.
Yeah. So that I just got into it, and it was way funnier. Everyone laughed more, but you won.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a fun game.
And do you Dungeons & Dragons at all?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I've played a bunch of different tabletop games like that.
I used to, way back in the day, there was a game called Rifts.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, I played Rifts.
I played Rifts more than Dungeons & Dragons.
It was like the space one.
Yeah,
with, like,
it was
superpowers.
Weird. Yeah, you had superpowers, outer space, like weird mythological creatures. It was like everything all rolled into one. It was really nice. But yeah, I don't know. I got old now, and having to fucking executive produce and write and all this other stuff takes up time.
Yeah.
Plus, I got puppies to play with.
Oh, puppies are amazing.
Yeah.
I just started a new campaign a little while ago, actually. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Someone invited me to their home game, and I was like, all right.
We've actually got a group, the Thunderprow of people. They do a YEG D&D. It's a live, improvised D&D show.
I've heard of it. I have not seen it yet.
Yeah? It's pretty fun. I've gone out and checked it out a few times, and it's really cool. There's a couple, like, diehards audience members that, like, go to all the shows because they're very episodic, and they all follow the same people.
Okay.
It's
that's
really cool.
Cool.
Yeah, shout out to them. I don't know where people can find that information.
Somewhere in Edmonton.
Yeah, the corner of Google and search, I think, will find their answers.
Any pizza preferences?
No mushrooms.
No mushrooms.
No mushrooms, no onions. Those are the two preferences.
You're like a meat man.
Whatever.
Meat man. Looks like a beard man.
I eat vegetables.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
You know what? Okay, I gotta
you're
say...
You're just a food man.
I mean, that's fair. I'm all about quantity over quality. But I just have to... Because I remember on Thursday, I was jamming with the band, and my bass player is a vegetarian.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's a skinny vegetarian.
Oh, yeah. And it was funny because he was like, oh, man, I haven't eaten all day. We got to go get something to eat. And he's like, can we just go to, like, McDonald's or A&W? I'm like, no, we're going to go to fucking somewhere to get some vegetables, you fucking moron. Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
You can get, like, salads there, right? That's still a thing.
Is James aware that their fries are fried in beef fat?
Vegetarians?
They're not anymore.
Oh, really? They stopped? Because,
when
I worked there, they were.
Like, vegetarians can eat Mars bars all day. Like, that's not a healthy lifestyle. There's, like, workarounds for it.
Yeah. Well, a healthy lifestyle is a healthy lifestyle regardless of...
See, I think the thing is, a healthy lifestyle is different for everybody. Like, and one thing that works for somebody won't work for somebody else because we're all beautiful, unique snowflake flowers or whatever the fuck it is. Like, for me and my diet and my exercise and everything, I had to, like, try something, measure it, try something else, measure it, and keep changing it around to find what works for me. And it's sort of an amalgamation of lots of different things. So when people are like, follow my diet and it'll work for you, or follow this workout routine and it'll work for you, it might, but like...
It's all pyramid schemes at that point.
Yeah, it's basically just try a lot of different things and see what works for you. Mm-hmm. What the fuck was I talking about?
Who cares?
We're talking about something else. Going to McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back in the, like, 80s and 90s, they had a big sign up at all the McDonald's said, like, over a billion served. They just stopped counting at some point.
Yeah.
I imagine that it's quite big now that it's worldwide.
Oh, yeah.
I'll buy, like, 10 cheeseburgers at a time.
10?
But, I mean, I'll save them.
Do they still have cheeseburgers?
You'll save them for what?
Just later.
There's, like, a McDonald's on every corner, man. You don't need to stock up.
Sometimes I get pretty high and drunk.
My sister's midnight meal.
I don't
want to
drive there.
My sister's midnight meal at her wedding is just going to be cheeseburgers and chicken nuggets.
Really?
It's going to be great.
Wow.
Man, that sounds awesome.
Jeez, that sounds very much like some sort of hillbilly wedding.
Everyone's going to get so drunk and she knows what they're going to want, man.
Salty grease.
Fucking cheeseburgers.
Denison Hall used to do something like that. I think they still do something similar.
Yeah, they get
McDonald's cheeseburgers, not just any cheeseburger.
Yeah. Where you like show up if you're there by a certain time, they've got like a table full of like cheeseburgers that you can just go up and grab one.
They do tacos sometimes too and shit.
Whatever happened to the cheese burglar?
I don't know.
The hamburglar?
Oh, the hamburglar. Thank you. Yeah.
He went to prison, I assume.
He went to prison?
Yeah, they finally caught up with
that.
They
got rid of all them and the fry guys.
The fry guys, the little fry bush people.
And then like the chicken. Grimace was supposed to be a
taste. Was the chicken.
Grimace was supposed to be a taste bud, I heard.
Yeah, big purple taste bud.
I heard that. I don't know if I didn't really look it up though, so.
What?
Grimace. Tell us.
And his name is Grimace. That is like the worst combination of things ever.
Yeah, I mean, oh my god. Like your taste bud's Grimace when you eat McDonald's? Like what is that supposed to say?
It says exactly what it says.
Or it's the best thing ever. Grimaces love McDonald's.
Maybe?
Yeah, like you know, he grimaces at everything, but not McDonald's.
Do you think that there's hubris? There's like hubris with them calling themselves Burger King? Like they're like, hey, we're the king. Okay, we do this. Like that just
hey,
sounds
Nick, like, don't you like humble brag all the time?
Yeah, because I'm awesome.
There you go.
Okay, but I mean, like, what does the king even really mean in this society anymore?
I guess what's a king to a god?
Yeah,
what's a god to an unbeliever?
Or I mean, just like you're just still a part of a game. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. What's your favorite like fast food? Like you stock up on McDonald's for like a beaver for the winter, but
it's usually when I plan to get real high, man.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do anything.
You're like on the way home from your drug dealer or legal weed vendor, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, we get a guy that delivers. It's awesome.
Oh, okay, cool.
Hey, how late does that guy deliver?
Also
out.
Name
I'm
and phone number.
And
this is going on the internet.
No, I know.
No, it's like a referral thing. They take like a week to get you in their system.
Oh, okay.
But I could probably. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, I usually don't have a problem. And I'm hooked in with natural health services. It's just that I'm just like,
I don't know if this is a legal one.
It doesn't matter. But for me, it doesn't matter. But I'm just like natural health services. I have to wait 4 days and like, I need some tonight.
Okay, so here's the thing. I still have never smoked weed in my whole life.
Yeah.
And obviously you're stocking up at McDonald's. I've heard this from everybody. Weed makes food taste better. Like it makes it a better experience. What are some of the other things that weed does?
I'll say this. It doesn't really make you want to do anything you weren't wanting to do to begin with.
But like, would you enjoy a book more or like a movie? Yeah. Would you like a walk more? Like,
Personally?
Yeah. Like what are some activities you find that are
deep purple?
For me, it's
gets enhanced like it's, fucking mad.
It's kind of like a focuser or a mind quieter. And if you want to like zone into something, I feel like it helps you zone in better. So you zone into your food better. You zone into your book better. You just zone in.
Okay, but then you're talking about it heightening things. What about somebody with like chronic pain and stuff? Because I've heard it been given to chronic pain, but it like dampens that. It doesn't focus on it.
Well, it does a lot of different things.
There's a lot of different
weeds.
This
is just like, I think, the THC-ness that I'm personally talking about.
Okay.
But
personally, I like games. I like to play games, stuff that I got to think. Mm-hmm. So, like, I love playing, like, board games and stuff with friends. I'll be the guy who looks real high, but everyone's like, man, look, he's real high. And then
I think
10
if you
minutes
are,
later, you're like,
yeah,
wait, he's
if
fucking
you are
winning.
Really high, it's okay to look really high as long as you are.
Yeah, but
you're not deceiving anybody.
No, they have this, I don't know, everyone just has this thing where they feel like, because I'm real high, I'm not thinking clearly. Mostly that's all I'm thinking about is like what everyone's going to do. You're like real paranoid, like who's going to stop me from winning?
It's like I am a fucking Machiavellian machine.
Wow, I'm getting all Bobby Fischer.
You got to think moves ahead, man.
Mm-hmm. How does like, and when you personally, you're taking an edible, You're smoking some dried marijuana product. Maybe you're taking some oil. Like, what is your personal preference for like situations? Which one do you find enhances you better?
I don't know.
I just throw it in me.
I like the bong personally.
Yeah,
it's my favorite.
Hits from the bong. Yeah.
Find that the dabs, depending on what I'm doing. I don't know if you know what the dabs
are. No, I don't know. First of all, I don't. But also, there might be some listeners that don't. So, what is a dabs? Isn't that a dance?
It's a
dance move where you put your nose in your elbow?
Something like that, too. Yeah. But
isn't that what you do when you sneeze?
Yeah.
It's basically like oil that's been either like really compressed or like crystallized.
Okay.
And then, you know what hot knives are?
Yeah, I've seen some scars.
Okay.
It's where they press two hot knives together to burn.
So basically
something.
They have a bong with a nail set up like in the inside, and then you take like a pin and you take your oil. So you've got like a hot knife bong.
A hot knife bong.
Yeah.
That sounds safer than just hot knives.
It is. It is way safer.
Yeah.
Hot knives are just so... Hot knives are so my parents.
Hot knives? Okay, so... When I was in college a few years ago, and I came home for Christmas or whatever, my dad's telling me this story about how, you know, he comes in from work, and my sister and all her friends are, like, hot knifing, like, right there in the kitchen as he comes in. And he's like, oh, yeah, and I kicked them all out, and I did this, and I did that, you know. Like, and he was, like, he was really proud of himself. And then I'm talking to my sister about it later, and she's like, no, he came in and he was like, you guys are doing that wrong, and showed us how. I was like, oh.
Wow.
Jeez. Yeah, my parents' camping knives all have burnt ends.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We'll try to find one we haven't used for hot knives. We're having steak tonight.
Jeez. Yeah, my parents are both like, oh, no, we don't smoke drugs. We don't do it. And I'm like, you fucking obviously do. I know the smell. Like, I don't know why you're so ashamed. I'm an old man. I'm not going to be influenced now.
It's too late for me, Dad.
Yeah, it's too late for peer pressure. But what are some of the other drugs that you've done?
Oh,
all of them?
Most of them.
Most of them?
Yeah, I was pretty curious.
Peyote?
Yeah. I did that once.
You did peyote? Yeah. Don't you just see things and puke?
Mescaline?
I don't know. We got some stuff. I think it was pretty juvenile peyote, or yeah. We didn't do it properly. We got like a ton of energy. We went on like an 8-hour walk.
Wow.
So
that's like a pre-marathon sort of drug.
Yeah.
If you want to be tripping balls on a marathon, use the peyote.
Yeah, everything was just like shimmery, I guess. It was just like almost like everything kind of emanated.
Cool.
There was a lot of like just chilling and with nature.
So here's the thing that I don't understand. I know peyote and ayahuasca. I don't know the difference between them, but I know that they're both supposedly like something that they're very shamanistic.
Yeah.
So have you like done ayahuasca to compare them?
I've done DMT. I haven't done an ayahuasca ceremony.
Okay, so is DMT Molly?
No.
Okay.
DMT is the active ingredient in ayahuasca.
Oh, okay.
And it's in you. It's in everything, basically.
Yeah. But I was having a discussion with somebody about this because they said DMT is natural. And I'm like, so is testosterone. But if you're like shooting up that, it's going to cause like adrenal fatigue and everything. Like, it's about moderation with your body. Because I've heard I think ecstasy.
Can burn you out a bit.
It burns you out, but yeah, it's a naturally existing neurotransmitter.
Yeah,
but if you take too much.
Yeah, with most drugs, it's just a serotonin uptake. So if you're taking in more serotonin than you normally would have, then you can go into stuff like serotonin syndrome and whatnot.
I've heard like it takes all of tomorrow's fun and gives it to you today.
Sometimes, yeah.
So it's like a credit card of fun.
I mean, there's lots of ways to go around it. I mean,
just never stop doing it.
One of the things.
You don't get a hangover if you never get sober.
I don't know, like, just take care of yourself if you're gonna party like that. Like,
also, something because you were saying you're curious, but like you've done lots of things and you're curious.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, and I was like, "What are drugs?" And like the answer was just like, "Don't do them; they're bad." And like there was no information available other than they're bad.
And the terrible things that they do to you and when they ruined your life.
Yeah, thank you, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I found a website fairly early on in my drug-taking career. It's arrowid.org.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And it has just a lot of just information, what to expect, how long drugs are going to last, when they're going to become intense.
Million logs of experiences.
Lots. You can just go and read people's experiences for hours.
Yeah.
So before I ever took acid, I think I probably read
100
hours worth of
people's
experiences.
I think that's probably the most important thing is to educate yourself with it.
Yeah, that's the reason I took it is because I read a lot and was like, oh, I don't need to be scared of this.
Yeah. That's what I like about that's what I like about Leafly is like not only does it kind of give you a general gist of like, oh, this is generally what this particular strain of weed does, but it also has a bunch of reviews where some people are like for me, I have a problem with weed where it's like if I do the wrong weed and too much of it, it will make me like
real paranoid, real
like planny, social, and
no, like fucked up, like punching tables and shit like
you
that.
Were
like
drunk just that day too.
Call back.
Fucked up. Yeah. Anybody that listens to podcasts heard that about 100 episodes ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like you get certain weed strains and you go and it. And like it says generally like, oh yeah, it won't do this to you. And then you read all the reviews and somebody says like, yeah, it definitely will if you like smoke a whole joint to yourself or whatever. And then it's like, okay, now I definitely know.
Yeah. When we were talking about earlier with like diets and workouts and stuff, it's sort of all local to you. Like try lots of things, but like don't just dive head first in.
And it's like I feel like a lot of the time that will give you the general way things affect like more neurotypical humans. And if you know you're outside of that, then you kind of have to watch yourself too.
Like for me, I know like whiskey, vodka, all the hard liquors, all the beer, they all affect me in very similar ways. But tequila doesn't. Tequila turns me into a crazy berserker man. I don't know what's up, so I just don't have that. And I know that doesn't work with everybody, but for me, for some reason, it just turns on aggression.
I feel that way with rye. Just I black out.
Oh yeah.
Even when I have like a little bit, so it's like
the old fire water. Just
it's just bam. Yeah, I don't know. Bam.
When I drink red wine, I get a hangover before I even get drunk.
Yeah,
it fucks me up. Like I get a pounding headache and I get really fucking tired and it's really weird.
For me,
the tannins.
For me, for red wine, I drink it and I don't know I'm drunk until I like stand up and then I'm like, whoa, it's the sneakiest drunk.
Did you know that Neil Diamond wrote that song?
Red, Red Wine? That was UB40.
Yeah, Neil Diamond.
Yeah, they just reggae it up.
Yeah, they reggae. Oh, wow.
And he, Neil
That's
Diamond.
Why we need more white guy reggae.
Yeah. Well, see, the funny thing about that is Neil Diamond liked that version so much that, like, he has repeatedly, like, many, many times when he goes to play a concert, he plays it that way, and then he plays it the original way that he wrote it. Like they do, like a mashup.
Oh, okay.
Thing and that sort of thing. It's really good. Man, Neil Diamond's a badass.
Wait, was Neil Diamond in the movie I was in a little while ago? Humble Brag. I honestly, I don't know.
No, probably
Neil
not.
Neil Diamond, Puppy Love.
I don't know.
Movie. You want to look it up on IMDb? But yeah, I think Neil Diamond. I think I might have met him. I can't remember. No, Wayne Newton, maybe? I don't know. It was one of those guys.
Some old man that sings a thing.
Some guy with plastic face.
Some guy your parents probably listen to.
Yeah,
when I think about Neil Diamond, I don't think like an obvious plastic face. I think maybe good surgeon face, but yeah. I don't know. I haven't looked at him recently. So
with the whole thing, we're talking about wine and alcohol and everything. When you're like, they always talk like there is sommeliers and cicerones and stuff, and they talk about what pairs well with what. For you and drugs, what pairs well? Like, if you were to have, like, an indica, a sativa, like, mushrooms, what do you think would
Wayne pair Newton.
Well? It was Wayne. Okay. Damn it.
Man.
Way shittier. Anyways.
A young Wayne Newton looks like an old Ronald Reagan.
I prefer... I prefer, like, sativas, I guess, for weed.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, they just have this, like, uplifting feeling. Like, you want to do things more than... not do things.
So you'd have like sativa, go play some ultimate frisbee or something?
Yeah.
Like just kind of a fun outdoor activity?
Yeah.
I feel like I wish all the sativas that I've had recently, I feel like I'm barely even high. It's fucked up. I don't know. That's just completely, but hybrids and indicas are generally my jam. And yeah. I'm usually have a lot going on in here.
You want that quiet.
I want it to be quiet.
Yeah, I don't really know that, but I'm assuming a hybrid is a sativa and an indica.
Yeah.
And those are like the two strands.
Somebody basically made those two kinds of weed fuck.
Okay.
And now they're.
Yeah, the old pistol and Steve.
It's like
the
Liger of the weed world, I guess.
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder what Liger
Except
would.
It can have babies.
I don't know what Liger would taste
of all
like.
The ones that I've ordered, now that I can go somewhere and not just get the weed.
Yeah, I know. That's the.
Like. I've been trying like a whole bunch of different ones and I think that, yeah, like the indica heavy hybrids are my favorites.
Well, the whole thing, and I completely support and endorse it, is anybody to go to the doctor and get put on like legal medical marijuana. And I know a lot of people are paranoid about lists and stuff, but the stuff you're buying on the street is the weed. Like you said, you don't know what it is. And when you're buying it,
who knows what it's laced with?
Yeah. And I'm like, or what it's been, like what it's gone through. Or
what
like,
kind of sketchy drug dealers do you guys
go
to?
Yeah.
He's got one eye, a face scar,
like,
a pirate.
This lacing shit might be a thing, but not when you buy from someone in like Sherwood Park. And it's not going to be weed that's laced, you know?
It's like, hey, Steve.
What's up? Are we going to go play some Ultimate Frisbee together and smoke this weed together?
Yeah. Well, that was I remember that they were talking, the guy in Florida who ate a guy's face way back in the day.
Oh,
they
bath
were like,
salts?
Yeah, they're like, he was on bath salts and weed. And I'm like, well, that explains the munchies.
Yeah, but I'm like no.
Oh, dust off that.
You gym. Should write and that down.
You know that face eating thing is actually fairly common for
weed,
a certain drug. I'm trying to remember. My brother fucking
they just
knew the chemical name
faces?
On hand.
Whoa!
Yeah.
For what?
Why? Well, I wonder what.
What is
I mean,
that,
we
like
do have a special
gas?
Face part in our brain, so maybe
no,
that's
it's just like
a special face part in our brain.
Turns them into like cannibalistic people.
But
and,
just faces, or
well,
any,
like,
just,
well,
eating
just eating
a
people
human.
In general. Yeah. But I imagine faces would taste pretty cool, and it's a way to send a
well,
message.
Feels like
so.
It's an easy place to get access to skin, yeah. Thin skin.
Yeah, you just start making out and see where things go.
The worst part about that is you can't even like bite an eyeball. So I was like, what's the point?
You gotta pop it out.
I have good eye popping nails. My nails are a good eye popping length. I feel.
Yeah,
no,
that's a good.
They should be longer, like stripper nails.
Stripper nails.
Eye popping.
Yeah. Stripper nails. We're calling those popper nails now.
Yeah, popping out eyes.
Yeah. So your go to then, like you smoke a sativa, you go play some ultimate frisbee, you eat some junk food.
Yeah.
What's like your go to junk food? I like, and this is. It sounds like I'm just making a joke or something, but I like black licorice and hard candies.
You know why it sounds like you're making a joke, Nick?
I'm eating black licorice.
He is
Grandpa?
Actually.
Because you always make jokes.
Yeah, I know. It's the
I don't know, man. It varies all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, man, chips. Chips are amazing. Sometimes I'm like, fucking ice cream sandwiches.
Oh, ice cream sandwiches.
And other times I'm like, king-size bag of Twizzlers.
Yeah?
Right now I've been real feeling aw caramel snack cakes.
Mm. Have you ever gone to the point where you're like, I bought some food, I'm going to hold off until I smoke weed to have some? Because you're like, this will be way better when I'm high. Or maybe you just start eating it while you're getting high and wait for it to kick in.
To be honest, most of the times when I get hungry is like when I start to burn out. So I'm not like get high and then eat. So
oh, okay.
I'll get high and make food. And then I'll be like, fuck, I'm not hungry. And I'll have to like wait to eat this delicious food that I've had.
Because yeah, that was one of the things I was reading about was marijuana, like they in chemo patients, they lose their appetite entirely, and that's why they waste away and look all very Lindsay Lohan. They give them marijuana to like up the appetite. So I don't know exactly how it comes on, but you say it comes when you're crashing, your appetite goes up.
Yeah, for me anyways. I know lots of people who get hungry right away.
Yeah.
But yeah, normally when I'm burning out, if I quit smoking weed, then I'm like, oh man,
yeah,
I'm fucking hungry.
Since you've smoked weed, what's the longest you've gone without smoking weed?
Ooh. Few months at a time. I used to get jobs working at site.
Yeah.
I think
you
have I went
to pee in a cup.
It went almost 2 years.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, maybe just over almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
I had a 16-month contract.
Ugh.
So I had to quit smoking beforehand.
Yeah.
So that I could pass a piss test.
I remember back in the day of like normal human jobs for me, they would just piss test me all the time. And I'm like, listen, I've never smoked weed. And they're like, oh, well, that's just your word. I'm like, the fuck?
Yeah, I know. Okay. I know it's kind of funny. I have never failed a drug test.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's. They're just drugs. I mean, I can stop doing drugs. I like to do drugs. I'm not, I mean, I'm maybe a little bit addicted to some of them, but I'm like, oh, shit, I have to do things because I need money to buy drugs.
I think the weird thing about the, like, the whole drug testing thing is, like, who cares if you've done drugs up to that point as long as you're not on drugs at site?
Yeah.
Like, while you're at work, it's inappropriate to be doing drugs.
Yeah, it's the same with alcohol. Like, you can go work, let's say, as, like, a plumber or something all day. You go home, have a couple beers. The next day, they're going to be like, oh, we see a little bit of blood alcohol in there. It's like, yeah, that was from yesterday. I'm sober now. It's, like, it should be about what you're doing at work.
No, I saw a neat study about these rats, how they're, like, kind of, like, confined and where they did a study on like if they would have like cocaine water as opposed to regular water, and then they found that it was more because they were confined, they didn't have things to do, that's why they were doing drugs.
Yeah.
So I think the big thing with drug testing is you take these people away from their families and you put them basically in a small room, like smaller than this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, this is where you're going to sleep. Then you're going to go out and work. And you're going to come in here and sleep. And you're like, man, I'm just so fucking bored. I want something to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where the drug problem comes from, that.
Yeah, they thought that cocaine was like way more addictive than it actually is because of that study. But they just had bored rats. When they gave the rats shit to do, they didn't drink the cocaine water as much.
I read a thing about how heroin withdrawal is not as bad as like a lot of people think it is. The main reason heroin withdrawal is bad is because people do heroin to ignore how horrible their life is, and their life gets worse and worse. And when they're coming off of heroin, they have to deal with their life and how terrible everything was. So that's, it's not usually like the effect of the opium is still there, but the main effect is now everything that they, all the responsibilities.
Oh my God, I have feelings that I have to deal with.
There was a big study on that, especially with people who went to like Vietnam.
Yeah.
And, cause they were doing a lot, like the soldiers themselves were doing like heroin.
Yeah.
While there, but then you know, like a lot of them, and then they come back and they like have no symptoms of withdrawal. Because it's that I need something again. Like
we're not killing
people right now. I need something to take my mind off killing people.
Yeah,
it's like their brains were put into such an abnormal state that the heroin like normalized them.
And then when they get to be at home in America and eat weenies and hang out with their family, then it's like, yeah, I don't need this shit.
Crush a few beers in the backyard.
Yeah, this is no fucking problem. Great. Yeah, boys, woo, you know, shit like that.
I always love reading all these like articles and everything about different treatments they use drugs for and everything, and like LSD being used for like PTSD and soldiers and stuff.
I would 100% agree to that. That and mushrooms, those will make you fucking deal with anything.
It's beautiful.
I love mushrooms and LSD are two drugs that I have done. And because I kind of look at drugs, and I might be wrong about this because I'm very ignorant about the subject, but I categorize them as like an upper, a downer, and sort of like a psychoactive substance. And a lot of psychoactive substances can be used for ego melting because they have a whole...
It lights your whole brain up.
Well, they have a whole thing in medicine where it's physician, heal thyself. But then in psychology and pharmacology and therapy and everything, you're never supposed to diagnose yourself because you have your ego in your way. So you can't really look... Like, to your own eyes, you always look a hero. But when you do like LSD, mushrooms and stuff, you go on a trip, sometimes you see little bulges in your skin or like lights flickering or something. And it's really cool. But also, like, you just sit down and you can deal with stuff without getting in your own way.
I feel like it takes, like, as an adult, I feel like my brain has pared down its neural pathways so much so that I have these ruts in my brain. And then when I do acid or mushrooms, it lets the water go everywhere again. And I can kind of reroute my programming.
That was the whole thing when I talked to Kerry Unger about him doing ayahuasca, because he used to be a really angry man.
I don't know him like that at all. It's so funny.
Yeah, he isn't whatsoever. But he said, doing ayahuasca, everybody told him what he needed to do to get like better to deal with his anger and everything. And he would just go like, that's not me. I'm ignoring it, getting on with my life. But then doing ayahuasca, he was like, oh, he was able to stand out of his own way and let himself heal. And I was like, oh, okay. So that sounds kind of cool.
I've had that happen on mushrooms a few times.
Yeah. It lets you
inanimate objects have talked to me.
Yeah.
Last time I was on mushrooms, I figured out all of the people in my life that were total pieces of shit. I was like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are the signs, man. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Last time I was on mushrooms, I raised my self-esteem a little bit for every 15 minutes I didn't eat the cinnamon bun.
Oh.
Because I realized...
Is it begging for its life?
I really wanted to be eaten, but then I was just like, no. Because I realized every time I put off eating the bun, I was like... leveling up. Mm-hmm. Right now I can't gel my thoughts, but... It was really important.
It makes sense. Everybody
it made me feel like it helped me have a deeper understanding of
the last
making
time,
it a treat.
Last time I was on mushrooms, I kind of got out of my way of saying, like, these are all the things that you do to make yourself better and improve, like, your life and everything. But don't ever expect that from other people because, like, you used to be a piece of shit. You don't know where these people are in their journey. Don't apply your principles to other people. So it was really good that way. But what are other drugs like that that kind of have a revelation or sort of like a impact that make you think about yourself? Kind of
the whole 2C family,
It's 2C.
Like, yeah, there's a bunch of drugs. It's like 2C B, 2C E, 2C I, 2C.
I think vitamin C. Is that similar to this?
No, not at all. I actually.
Graduation song?
Speak to me about these. How safe are they?
They're fairly safe. They come in a, like usually like a really tiny dosage. And you can check them up on Arrowhead. I highly recommend it. But they're.
What, did they have a cool street name? Because, like, here, the thing that I always
No, I've
do,
heard
I
about
like,
2CB. Like,
I took some 2CE the other night, hoping to stay awake and clean my room, but then I fell asleep, and then I woke up high on it, which is always fun.
I've done that in hospitals where I wake up high on something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they put me under for something, and I wake up, and I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah. Can't, I just kind of wanted to make one comment on the, like, the revelatory drugs. Is my personal, and this is, you know, as always, this is my personal feeling towards it, is I feel like if you're open to having a revelation,
one of the two.
You can have that on, like, a couple beers, right? Like, if you're just, like, if you're in that headspace, but obviously some of them kind of wire your brain to be in that headspace.
Sometimes it's really hard, like,
to
get out of your own way, though.
But it's like, I've never gone from any non-psychedelic thing or whatever. Yeah. Like, from acid and mushrooms, I've never gotten those feelings from anything else. And I've been told you can get it from meditation. But
yeah, because basically all I want to kind of illustrate is like, if you're in that headspace, you can't get that thing. But, you know, obviously there are some drugs that just put you in that headspace. Oh, yeah. Boom, you're there.
Yeah, you can't just take a tab of acid and you're enlightened.
But also, it just gives you more, really good acid. It just puts you on the road. Because if you look at your brain, like, on it, it actually looks different. Like, more stuff's lit up than it usually is. So.
You're making weird connections on that kind of stuff. Like, because, I don't know, man, if the fluidity of being on those drugs, like, everything's moving, but it's all there.
It's all together. You're, it's all one. You're, you know, and like, you're in it.
These 2C ones. So I remember going on a walk and being like, everything both looked fuzzy and sparkly. Like, everything was like a little girl's teddy bear.
It's hard to explain, like, LSD and mushrooms and stuff. Like, you can explain what you saw and what you felt and everything, but there's almost something inexplainable about it on a certain level. And I mean, the thing is, the first time that I ever did mushrooms was kind of not the best, because we all did way too many mushrooms because we were trying to impress each other, and none of us had done mushrooms before. So, like, if somebody is listening to the podcast right now and they're like, they want to do, like, a drug.
Do,
like,
it proper.
Yeah,
do
what
it
is
smart.
The, what is
do
the proper
your
way? What is their proper way? Like, how would you recommend somebody doing their first time?
Cool. Toad venom.
For
toad venom's a drug.
I don't know. I recommend always doing a little bit more than what would get you high, enough that you understand what's going on. So for, like, a first-time mushroom user, I would say to take, like, an eighth of mushrooms. But to also try to have someone who's been there on them with you, or who's been on them before with you.
Someone to hold your hand.
Kind of.
Someone to just assure you if things go weird.
Yeah.
Someone who's sober there. Yeah.
Not always. I don't always.
You don't have to be
them.
Sober, but they have to be good.
Like someone who's just experienced.
Sober.
Yeah. Or a little bit more. Okay. Right? Like,
it's like Jimi Hendrix said.
Make sure you're in a safe space.
All along the watchtower.
I just always like to make sure I have access to things that I might need.
Yeah.
When I used to live downtown and we'd like walk through the River Valley late at night, we would just like leave. We wouldn't take like anything with us. Like no cell phone, no wallet. Like, give us your money. We don't have anything.
Here's a key to my house.
No, man. We would just leave it open. Like, you got my roommates. You guys home? Yeah, cool. We're going to be gone for like 6 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I mean, some of my roommates be up for playing video games. All night, so
nice.
A lot of them worked at bars, so they would come home
late at night.
Like, hey, what's up? What do you guys do? Oh, we went for a walk.
It is unique. It is quite the experience, like doing like acid and like mushrooms and stuff. But that's always something that I've kind of worked at. It's sort of my little mantra is to, like, improve and get better as a person. And, like, there's a lot of stuff that I never would have thought of without sort of – I call them ego-melting psychoactive drugs. So is there, like we were talking earlier about DMT. I've always had this kind of weird connection in my head that might be false about, like, DMT MDMA, ecstasy, sort of like a lot of drugs that are just letters.
Just
PCP, MDMA.
The only similarity is letters.
It's the alphabet soup of drugs. I'm just like, I don't know.
I'm trying to remember what. It's more like acid or mushrooms, but like a lot more potent.
It really rips you out of the universe.
I don't know if you've heard Joe Rogan talk about it, and he talks about
who?
Joe Rogan. He says it's really? Like.
Is that the hair loss medication?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one. When he talks about it being like triangular happiness, and that I think is the most adept description of what it's like. Like everything's just like geometric shapes. And
that's Ryan Short said that too.
Everything
he was like, when I was in, it was like everything was like pixels or something.
Yeah. And like they all flow too. So like.
Apparently it's released right when you die.
Yeah, when you dream.
There's like theories about what near death. That's what near death experience.
Because a lot of the people that see the white tunnel or light or something, they've kind of. I think atheists are trying to debunk it that way.
Yeah, that's like something that's trying to be happening at least.
Yeah, that's one thing that I always am a little bit confused about with like atheism and religion and everything. Because I've gone back and read all these studies where it's like they are explaining a lot of religion with science, with like mushrooms and stuff. People taking mushrooms and seeing amazing things and then writing scripture about it. And that's sort of like a breakdown of it. I've never really been like a super religious person, but I understand the importance of it. I'll say that. And for me, the thing that's always stood out, the thing that I've always loved is religious people will always try and agree with each other on something. But the thing that I love about science is science exists to disprove itself. So, and they're happy when they do.
Yeah.
They
are.
Well,
not always. There's so much gross politics in science, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, completely different.
There's no religion that seems to be happy when they hear something's disproved or anything. And any time that you disprove it, it's always a theory.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of a strange thing. The chemistry of the brain is always amazing. We were talking before the podcast about naps and like how we all take naps. And I just took a nap a little while ago. And the thing that I remember taking naps way back in the day, and the reason that I don't take them, is I can sleep for like 4 hours at the beginning of the day and 4 hours near the end of the day, and I don't feel nearly as rested. Like I'm just not getting melatonin or whatever. I can sleep for 6 hours and feel way more rested than 2 4-hour blocks.
I think it has to do with like your sleep cycles.
Yeah.
It depends when you're sleeping, when you wake up, during your sleep cycles and stuff.
Regular sleep and shit like that is part of
your
healthy sleep.
Your whole
hygiene.
Sleep cycle is like an hour and a half, so like at 4 hours, you're going to be coming out of one, right?
Yeah.
So you're not going to feel rested simply because of when you woke up.
Yeah, I live and die by sleep cycles.
There's phone apps that test how much you move around in the night and try to wake you up at the end of your sleep cycle or at the most optimal time that they can.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's like literally, I remember growing up without like cell phones.
I remember growing up without internet, like and cell phones.
No internet, no cell phones.
I was
and
just
now,
thinking about like
phones on the wall and shit.
And I remember you would just go to the doctor, and the doctor would be like, "Take these pills and sleep longer."
I remember,
and like you can actually sleep less and get more.
You feel more rested.
We know so much more now, and it's terrifying.
Have you guys ever had a magic nap? That was like a really short nap, but you feel better than if you'd slept for like 15 or 20
barely
hours
ever, but
or
yes,
some
sometimes.
Shit.
Is that where you put a magic bullet up your ass and fall asleep with it on blend?
Woo! Can you do one of these?
Fall asleep at the wheel? Oh.
It's magic.
Oh, shit!
Those ones are magic.
I had the
8 Mile.
I've had the whole thing where they say like, when you're fatigued and driving, pull over and take a power nap.
I've done
that before where I pull over. At, let's say, 2 a.m., I take a power nap, and I wake up at noon. I'm like, that's my nap. Like, I will just sleep, and I'll wake up because I shifted on the horn.
It's like, you gotta, man.
That's, yeah.
When I was in school, I had to fucking do that because there was too many times where it was like, and then it's like, oh, no, we're not letting this fucking happen. So I would have 2-hour high my naps all the fucking time.
Yeah, I've just never been much of a napper.
I think they're amazing.
My like,
I like my Jeep, though. I just like pile a bunch of blankets when I know I'm going somewhere.
Yeah.
And
well, I've been to the doctor, and I don't mean to brag, but I have a little bit of brain damage. So my brain, like, it, I know how it works for me and everything, and I'm always interested with the chemistry of, like, the different things. And, like, when I fall asleep, how, like, the chemicals are all released. And there was a study they did a while ago where a while ago, like World War II, where Russians were keeping people awake for a long time to see how long they could keep somebody awake for. And then somebody just died from being awake too long. Their heart just stopped beating.
Yep.
And it's like, I guess sleep's pretty fucking important.
Yeah.
Sleep is really, really important.
Yeah. It can just wreck you totally.
You know what's cool about sleep is they still don't fully understand why you need to do it even.
I know.
And it'll kill you if you don't, but they don't know why.
Yeah. I saw actually a study that it's because a lot of stuff that goes on in your brain
builds up like toxicity that's flushed. Yeah.
That flushes out. And people who have like Alzheimer's or people who are chronic, people who don't get enough sleep.
Mm-hmm. And that's like
that's good to know because I do have I had Alzheimer's in my family, but I sleep a lot.
For me, like I'm pretty fortuitous with all my jobs being later in the day, so usually I go to bed like 2 a.m., like midnight to 2 a.m., and I very seldomly have to put an alarm on my phone. I'll just wake up, and it's like that's when I'm awake, and usually it's 7-8 hours, and it's perfect. Always wake up, and I'm like, I'm refreshed. I can go to the gym. I can go for a run. I can walk dogs. I can like just any activity, and it like keeps me going the whole day.
Sometimes I wish my job would let me come in at like noon. Work till like 8.
Oh my god!
Work for yourself.
Right? Yeah.
Straight up, like if I could do that, my whole life would just the efficiency would just through the roof.
I feel like 11 to 7 or like.
Why?
Something like that would be
my 1 to 9 when I had a 1 to 9 schedule and I could like still wake up at like 7 or 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
So still pretty early and then just have a full day of shit. And then you go to work and then you come back and you do a couple hours or whatever. And then you go to bed. Like it was fucking awesome.
I think it would be a really under like appreciated superpower just to never need sleep. Just to not have to. That would be, I could get so much done.
I've said it before. If I could get away without needing to consume sleep, food, etc. Like doing it because I want to.
So if you were like a robot?
Yeah. Like if I want to sleep because I want to enjoy it, like I just want to like nap and cuddle or some shit because it feels good, not because I need to or else I'll die. Like, yeah. Oh my God, that would be such a godsend.
I don't know, man. You ever have one of those times when you like haven't been able to sleep for a while? And then, like, finally you're like, oh, man, I'm totally ready for sleep. And it just feels amazing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like that pee you've been holding in on that trip.
Yeah.
I've had before where I had a concussion so bad I couldn't fall asleep. I was just like, oh, I guess I just lay here in pain now. And then, yeah, when I fell asleep, I slept for, like, 14 hours.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I only woke up because I had to piss and shit. Like, my body was like, okay.
Need to heal.
I like that they're doing a lot of studies that show that sleeping on concussions is actually not harmful.
It's kind of like your body goes like, we need this.
Yeah, we need to sleep right now. Your brain is hurt.
Isn't the reason that they don't want you to sleep on a concussion is so that they can monitor you in case your like brain is bleeding and shit?
But there's certain circumstances with how the severity of your concussion is.
They want you to be able to go to the hospital, talk to the doctor, explain to the doctor what happened, them to run tests, write it all down, then you can sleep. Because now they've got all the information.
Right.
Then you can sleep. They want all of that beforehand.
So it's probably better that everybody knows that you don't go to sleep on a concussion as opposed to, like, you know, well, some people think this and some people... No, everybody should just think you that should because...
Stay awake till you're at a doctor.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the whole thing if you're on like a deserted island, you have a concussion, like it's like, Joe, sleep. No, fucking let him sleep. He's not going to get to a doctor anytime soon. Just fucking let him sleep.
Well, let him die for fuck's sakes. It's over.
Yeah, that's meat.
Your struggle is done.
Concussion, my ex got real pissed at me because I took a nap. I've been up like, we went to like a concert.
How do you get concussions?
I have my black belt in judo. So I've been up late because we went to a concert the night before, and her friend stayed out. They got in at like 4. I had to be up at 5 to go get ready for this tournament. Yeah. And then like my second fight in, I got a huge concussion and like took an like I walked off. But they were like, "You're not allowed to keep fighting." No,
we
and I tried to lie. I'm fine.
We wrapped the movie Puppy Love a little while ago. And I had a fight scene. Me and Adam Blank had a fight scene together with Donald the Cowboy Cerrone, the UFC fighter.
Yeah.
And I had to catch like flying knees and like I'm trained for stunt fighting and stuff. So it was great. It was fun. But the one time
the other stuntman bumped into Adam's back as Adam was like catching an elbow to the face, and the elbow connected on his chin, and he just dropped
and, a big bag of fucking hammers.
Yeah, like a bag of flour, and he got caught before he hit the ground. As he's hanging there, he kind of comes to, like he's being shook. It's like, hey, wake up, wake up. And he comes to and he goes, what happened? And I'm like, oh, you have a concussion. Like, yeah. If you got hit, you lost consciousness, and you, and I'm like, what's the last thing you remember? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, that's a concussion right there.
Yeah, when I got mine, they're like, what's the last thing you remember? I was like, getting thrown on my face. Yeah. Like,
yes. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, you're a comedian.
Yeah, I guess.
We're into the podcast now. You've been doing comedy for a while now. You were, what was that? Was that last year you were in the finals of a contest? Yeah,
last year.
Yeah, and you've been tearing it up all over the place. Seeing your face on a couple.
Tell us your shittiest joke.
My shittiest joke?
What was your
the
first
worst
joke?
Yeah, first joke. Or the joke that you wrote like close after that that's like you're embarrassed to tell us.
Actually, one of my first jokes is that deodorant joke that I do.
About the names?
About the names, yeah.
I don't know it. Tell me it.
Coming to a show, dick.
Fair enough. Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Play Stairway.
No.
And she's, I don't know. Usually some of the first jokes you write, you fucking are not very good, so you don't remember them.
I remember mine because I recorded my first set ever, and anytime I feel really good about myself, I go back and listen to that. Because I believe there are a few things that can really kill success. Contentment is one. And ego is another. So anytime that I like do a good set and I kill, I'll go home, listen to that set, and I'll transcribe it, write it all down. I'll like log the show and everything. And then I'll listen to my first set ever. And fuck. There's the wind out of those sails.
This is why I do this.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man, talking about jerking off on a plane. Ugh.
You had a good if you fucking, you have to have that audience in there.
Yeah. It was not very good. But how long have you been doing comedy?
6 years.
6 years. So yeah. That's a half dozen.
Half dozen, yeah.
Yeah, roughly. Roughly, if we round it to what it is.
Holy shit. I got a question for all the comedians in the room here.
So everybody.
So there's you guys all know the saying, like, when a TV show jumps the shark, right?
Yeah.
It does something and then it gets worse. Mm-hmm. So when a TV show gets better, they call it growing a beard. So Next Generation, Riker grows a beard, the show becomes the show, it's a better show.
Yeah.
Now, when would you guys say was your like first, I just grew a beard moment?
Mine would be Christmas of, was that 2014? Probably when I had my Christmas story, the breakup.
I honestly just don't feel like I have a beard.
Mine was when I decided that I can get very personal, very real, and be sad,
vulnerable,
and be honest with who I am on stage and still make it funny.
Feel like, yeah, I've taken a lot of steps, but I still, like, my beard's really patchy still.
So you're stubbly?
Yeah.
Funnily enough, when I shaved a beard and a bunch of comics told me I was not as funny with one.
I suppose that with this whole metaphor being as apt as it is, we should probably describe what the guest looks like, because this is not one of
much
our video
beard.
Podcasts.
Much beard.
Such beard.
Like, yeah,
many wow.
10 pounds of beard. 10 pounds of beard and 15 pounds of dreadlocks.
Something like that, yeah.
You look like you have a black belt in hacky
and
sack.
And not wearing...
Can that be the name of this episode?
Black belt in hacky sack.
I'm fairly good at hacky sack. I'm not anything great.
Yeah. Huh.
I got punched a lot.
So, like a blue belt?
Punched a lot? That's not how hockey sounds.
Yeah, it
works.
Is, man.
Oh, okay.
I played with a bunch of, like, skaters and stuff, though. So,
wow.
Like, you had to, like, keep it up for a certain amount of time. You couldn't let it, like, fall between your legs.
Yeah, was he a skater boy?
They all were pseudo-skater boys. I don't know if any of them really skateboarded.
What's a pseudo-skate?
So, someone who looks
like
they skateboard.
Blade? Oh, okay.
They don't.
Oh, they, like...
With the beanie, skinny jeans.
They buy their clothes at West 49, but they don't own a skateboard?
Yeah.
So, Miklos,
there was lots of punching because I was not very good.
You've performed in a couple different places. You've actually been way outside of just our fair city of Edmonton.
Yes.
Where was your favorite stage you've ever performed on?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked this one in Calgary I did that was in like a health food store. Mostly because
I don't
it
think
was
I'm familiar with that one.
It's put on by Tom Balog.
Okay.
And
are you sure you just weren't like in line at a store and was like, I'm feeling funny?
No, man, that was, I liked it more because of what was going on, I guess, with the whole place more than anything. Yeah. It's just because it was like a super vegan place, and I look like a hippie, so they're all like, oh, he's gonna tell hippie jokes, and I talk like bad about hippies. Like, hippies are stupid, and I talk a lot about drug usage and weird sex stuff. But like, the weirdest thing they had was they had like these vegan chocolates, and so they don't have any, and most of them like had all these weird ingredients, like astragalus. I never heard of astragalus before.
That sounds like asparagus that strangles people.
Yeah, and then there was colostrum, which is like the first milk.
My least favorite
out of X-Men. Like out of a woman when she's breastfeeding.
Oh, the blood milk.
Yeah, I guess. But that, I was like, how is that vegan?
Like, that's an animal byproduct.
It's an animal byproduct. How are you able to? And they were like really shilling out these mushrooms that were really good for you. And I was like, are these good mushrooms? And they're like, well, they're good for you. And I was like, no, that's not what I mean.
Yeah. Like, you were touching on it there. You kind of have a contrast in your appearance and your material, looking very hippie-ish, but not being part of that culture. What are some of your like the most favorite crowd interactions you've had?
Because
you definitely set them up when you walk on stage looking the way you do. You definitely set them up for one thing.
In Kelowna last year, there was I did like an entire set of drug jokes, and then I closed it off with this masturbating joke.
Yeah,
but it's also about how I'm addicted to masturbating. So yeah. Like fit
addicted.
Yeah,
I cocked it.
And in the middle of the joke, this lady's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I was like, I do drugs, lady. Like,
obviously.
If you've not been paying attention, it's like all I've talked about.
Yep.
If we kind of got to wrap her up here. We're around in the hour. If you could go back in time and give yourself any advice starting out as a comedian, what would it be?
Oh, man. Don't smoke so much weed beforehand.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I used to get real high before doing sets, and it like played off because I looked the way I do. Like, oh, he's just really high. No, I was like very high every time.
I find that like anything, drinking before a set, like any sort of thing, like if you do it, you can develop a habit of using that as a crutch.
Yeah.
So it's like I was just like, because there's so many people that they're like, I have to do this before I do this sort of thing. And I'm like, I'm not always going to have this to do before this. So let's just be good at what we do.
What you get is state memory. You guys know about state memory, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really what happens is because you're inevitably, if you're a person that has never been on stage before, you're going to be afraid of being on stage. And then you're eventually going to get comfortable being on stage.
Yeah, it's immersion therapy.
Right. And so if you get comfortable being on stage high, then you really do actually have to be high to be comfortable on stage.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
So then for you, that being advice tailored to comedy, now if you had personal advice for yourself, if there was something you could do, go back in time and give yourself something.
I don't know. Learn how to deal with personal finance better.
Yeah, that's something they don't teach in school.
No, not really.
They don't teach a lot of really important things. They don't teach nutrition or finance in school. But man, that Pythagorean theorem, eh? We got that all figured out.
Sine, cosine.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who does that joke now about the Pythagorean theorem. They have damn it, he runs Woodrack.
I don't know. We were talking a little while ago.
He does a joke about how he was like in a three-way with like two dudes. And it was like a weird triangle, blowjob triangle. And he was like, I was the... Yeah, Daniel Marshall.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I was the hypotenuse. So that's a good application of Pythagoras.
That's a good, yeah, blowjob Pythagoras. Which, I mean, the Greeks were all about that.
Yeah.
So I guess that's one thing that like really as a society we should try and improve how we educate our kids a little bit. And we touched on that too about drugs, how
is it
in school and everything. When I asked questions about drugs, they just said they're bad, don't do them. They never, I mean, if you're a contrarian person and you're told not to do something, you're gonna do it.
Yeah, man, I did it.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't turn out horrible. My mom's now saying she's proud of me.
Oh, wow. Jeez,
That must be nice.
Yeah, I know, right? Comedians in the room, are you jealous?
Mom loved me.
Where can the listeners find you on social media, or your mom?
Or my mom. They can find me on Facebook. I have an open Facebook. I don't have anyone.
Even open Facebook. Yeah,
there's no restrictions. You don't even have to add me. You can look at the weird shit I do.
You have kind of a strange pronunciation or a spelling of your name.
Yeah, it's Miklos.
Yeah.
It's M-I-K-L-O-S. And then last name.
You would think there's a C in there.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Fucking crazy English people.
Yeah.
And then Blackshaw. That sounds.
Yeah, that one's normal.
And then I have Instagram and Twitter, and I think they're both Comedian Miklos.
Comedian Miklos. And
basically, Twitter's just my Instagram feed. That's
Twitter's just my Instagram.
Pretty much.
So just pick one.
Yeah, pick one of them.
Okay, sweet. Well, yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. Do you have any parting words of wisdom or anything we didn't get to on the podcast?
No, not really. Just don't do anything I wouldn't do. Which is pretty open.
Yeah.
Just do whatever.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, let's eat some pizza then. Right, I guess like the podcast and whatever you're listening to, subscribe, share. There's probably whatever you downloaded or are watching this on, these buttons, push them. Push all of the buttons. Thank you.
780-862-1124. Text me.
Call them.
Because I am a fourth dimensional being.
You're like just...
I transcend time and space.
Okay, guys, music is done by Ben Sounds. Go check out the Facebook page for all of our live podcasts and giveaways. Follow us on Twitter to get the fastest updates. And please give us some stars on iTunes. Hey, guys, thank you so much for listening to this. We had an amazing time making it, and I hope you guys enjoyed it half as much as we do. Keep on listening to podcasts in the free world. Good night, or morning. Uh-oh.
Good night, guys.
That's a normal thing.